This is KUT Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten.
People love to watch the car crash, you know?
That's Casey Moore, and she's talking about our fascination with divisive and sometimes downright ugly political fighting. Moore and fellow University of Delaware graduate Marley Duchovny founded the online Project Divided last year to encourage people to have conversations about important issues across political lines and differences. As part of their project, they set up shop in Smithville near Bastrop for a few months to do some offline work increasing civil communication. Before they wrapped up their work in Smithville recently, I talked with Moore and Duchovny about what they learned during their time in Texas and how that has influenced their work. Marley told me one thing they learned from activists in Smithville: they can't be all talk and no action.
Well, Casey likes to say this, but I'm going to steal it from her. The first few months, we really just came and we sat a while. So that included just being in different cafes, talking with people, going to churches, going to any sort of event we could find. And what we really wanted to do was become more a part of the community, get to know people in a way that wasn't automatically politics first. And I think that allowed us to really get to know people, get to know who would be interested in engaging in some of these conversations. And then moving on from that, we have been putting together different community events, such as our Chilean Conversation event, as well as bringing people to the table to film interviews for our web series.
Yeah, and Jennifer got to attend our Chilean Conversation event, which was not only had great chili, I was very impressed by Texas chili, but also great conversation too. So each table kind of had a different topic of conversation. So folks got to talk about everything from what they want to see in the community on healthcare to education to faith and arts and education. And yeah, we're working on submitting some of that feedback that we got to city council. And yeah, we were really happy with the turnout that we got from that event. We got to meet some new folks too.
So you were happy with the turnout and you got to meet new people. As far as your goals of encouraging civil discourse and people to sort of have cross-topic and cross-political party conversations, how do you feel like your work in Smithville has gone?
This is Marley. And for us personally, I think part of the reason we wanted to do this work was just out of personal curiosity. I have been really craving these conversations across party lines. And so I think for me, it's been personally interesting to be able to be a part of these conversations. And Casey and I have learned a lot. We're going to go over some of the things we've learned. But I think that definitely getting to see something that's a bit different from what the media presents has been super eye-opening and has caused me to think a lot about just reevaluating how I view politics.
And specifically, I think Smithville has been a great opportunity for us and a great place to have our project because we really got to experience things on the local level. Our project and our web series really focuses on having these conversations on the local level through a local lens. And what we've learned is that, you know, out of necessity, people have to work with each other on the local level. Like, there's not a lot of options. And I think you get past a lot of kind of the gridlock that you see on the federal level, on the local level, because people don't really have a choice in that matter. And I think that's been really interesting to see is that these conversations were already happening before we got there. And we were really lucky to have the opportunity to showcase some of these conversations, especially in our web series.
So, Marley, you said you had found yourself really craving cross-political party conversations. Why do you think you were craving that? Because I imagine you're not alone.
We talk about this a lot, but I think that the younger generation is really looking to get out of our trenches that we've seen federal and state politicians be pretty locked into for a while. We don't really have the luxury when it comes to solving a lot of these looming issues on the horizon. And for me, you know, the things that keep me up at night are thinking about these large policy issues. That might be kind of weird. But so I know that when it comes to young people, I think that we really want to sit down and have these conversations and find ways that we can find different paths forward. And I didn't feel like I really had the opportunity to either be a part of those or to be exposed to them through the media. So that was a lot of what motivated us, was just wanting to seek out these conversations, wanting to attack different problems with lots of different perspectives and bring people together to do that.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting experiences for me is we had a youth forum where we brought young people together from all across the political spectrum at different backgrounds. Some of them were climate activists. Some of them worked for Young Conservatives. Some of them were March for Our Lives activists. And even though the conversation was contentious, we were talking about really contentious issues like gun control and climate change. But I think something that stood out to me was one of our participants said, I think youth are changing how we approach conversation. And so I think we are seeing that more. And I don't know. I mean, I guess everybody says that, like, our generation is different. Our generation is doing things differently. And so maybe I'm just falling into that. But I do think that people are, younger people are initiating these conversations. And with a lot of things like climate change, we don't really have a choice. We need to have these conversations and we need to start trying to find solutions and move forward together.
And branching off of that, when people hear about our work, often one of the things that's said is like, oh, so you're talking about non-contentious issues, like transportation, although transportation is very important, to state that. But I think that actually the reason that we want to have these conversations is that so we can build relationships with people and get into those more contentious issues. Because, you know, we need to really be opening up that dialogue, be trying to see what paths forward we can find. And, you know, starting that is really important.
This is Casey, but going off of that point as well, I think one of the other criticisms about this work in general is people always ask, well, are you trying to create more centrists or more moderates? And that's not the case at all. I think what the core of our project is, and what we're trying to do, is just increase communication between people and really initiate those conversations.
Casey, you said a little bit earlier you learned a lot from having these conversations. One of the things that you kind of learned and noticed and that people commented on is the idea that young people maybe have a different approach to some of these topics and to some of this work. Why do you think, at least there's a perception, if not the reality, that young people have maybe a different approach or a different attitude about trying to have these conversations? Is it because some of these topics are kind of mission and life critical for younger folks? Or is there more to it?
Yeah, I think there's a few different things that go into it. I think one of the things is education. So we had an interview between two youth climate activists, but one was conservative and one was very liberal. And I think this narrative that we're told is that conservatives can't be for climate action. And what we found was that's not the case at all. They had very different kind of approaches of how to address these problems. But when it came down to it, and they even said this themselves, young people are educated about these issues from a very young age at this point, especially when it comes to climate change. So I think education is definitely part of it. And then I think the necessity of action. And that's something that we really try to do in our web series, is how can we make this actionable? And I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing tons of youth activism now, not only on the climate, but lots of different issues. So I would say that we're educating ourselves and that we want to take actionable steps to fix these problems that we see around us.
This is Marley. And I think that one of the things that we're really seeing in this current political climate is, you know, as I said before, this overwhelming feeling. People are feeling quite overwhelmed. And we want to make sure that through our web series, we can make things as actionable as possible. So I think that a result of that overwhelming feeling is that people are leaning out. And especially right now, we need to be encouraging ourselves and our family and our friends to lean into political conversation and to stay engaged. And I think that what we want to do is provide that narrative, provide ways through our web series that people can feel that they can take action, they can talk to family, they can talk to friends.
Because I think we often talk about this a lot, me and Marley do, is that people love to watch the car crash, you know? You see these very contentious conversations highlighted in the news a lot, where there's someone, you know, very far left and very far right. And it's not necessarily a conversation that's focused on what are the issues, how can we fix them, how are we looking at this differently, and how can we solve this. It's kind of just this boxing match in a lot of senses. And I think that's what we're trying to do, in a sense, is show these conversations, because although sometimes they're not as interesting or entertaining to watch, they're important to have. And I think that's what we're trying to do, in a sense, is change that narrative that, you know, there's only this boxing match coming on, but there are people who want to sit and talk and fix.
So if you have a duo or a group, mm-hmm. and maybe you encountered this during your time in Smithville, and their conversation is across a topic and they don't agree, or perhaps across political party lines, and it's a boxing match, and you can tell they're either going at it or they're going to go at it, how do you encourage them or coach them to move from that really antagonistic approach to a less charged approach? How do you get them from the boxing match to the calmer conversation?
So, this is Marley. And I think one of the things that we always want to state is that there is truth to both narratives, to the narrative that the media is providing and the narrative that we're trying to provide. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes these conversations are not healthy, and we need to recognize that. And sometimes we also need to talk about the differences that we have and acknowledge them as real and important. That being said, I think that there's a real danger when we're not providing a more actionable lens, because we're missing out on a lot of opportunities to be problem solving. But to get to the heart of what you were saying, sometimes these conversations aren't healthy. And I think that what we try to do is to take these issues from a very personal, individual lens and have people talk about their personal experiences with them, talk about how their values lead them to feel certain ways. Because often what we're seeing in the media right now, people are kind of debating facts a lot, which is quite concerning. But how can we then acknowledge that and try to take the conversation to a place where, even if people cannot agree, they can express how they get to their conclusions?
This is Casey. Something that one of our interviewees said is Janelle Austin. She said, you have to honor the other person's story. So let their story be, and you don't have to debate their story. You have to let them tell their story and let that be their truth. And you can also share your story too. But I think exactly what Marley said, we really, a lot of the times, are encouraging people to come to these conversations based off their personal experiences and life experiences, because when it comes down to it, that's what our politics are based off too. And I think exactly talking about how our values feed into that can sometimes help steer that conversation back to a more productive place.
So I wonder, though, if coming at it a perspective of personal values can actually make it harder. Because what if you're having a dialogue with somebody and you don't agree on them and their views are racist or homophobic, for example? How do you get to a place where, I mean, are we supposed to respect where they're coming from when we find their views repugnant?
I think that's a great point. And I think, as Marley mentioned before, these conversations, sometimes it's not safe to have those conversations. And I think that's a huge point that we have to acknowledge, is that we don't want to condone racism or hate or homophobic behavior at all, in the slightest. And I think that you have to acknowledge that in those conversations and in those spaces too. And I think it's important, if you feel that you can, to acknowledge that. I think with the values thing, I think it's interesting, because from our research, what we've learned, kind of going back to values theory, is that what I view as moral may be completely different as what someone else views as moral. Maybe one person thinks that loyalty is being morally right, and maybe someone doesn't view that at all. So I think it's almost, not only do you have to think about what your values are, but it's, once you have that conversation and I start to understand the other person's values, I can then frame where I'm coming from through their values as well. And maybe then we can start to understand each other a little bit too. So I do think it's a give and take. But also, going back to your point, we do have to acknowledge, as Marley said before, there are these differences between people that we have to acknowledge and respect, and not condone certain behaviors as well.
This is Marley, and I think that one of the things that we really wanted to hold ourselves accountable for in this web series is, yes, to provide the positive aspects of conversation, the reasons why we should be engaging, but also to hold ourselves to a standard where we're saying, hey, this isn't always the answer. Sometimes conversation is either not healthy, or sometimes action needs to be taken instead, because, you know, as we're having these conversations, people's lives are going on, things are happening. There are issues, especially when we're talking about these important, pressing policy issues. They impact people's lives. So we did a lot of interviews with different activists. As Casey mentioned before, we interviewed a wonderful professional, Janelle Austin, who works in Racial Justice Agency. And a lot of what she said that I think was super important was that, yes, it's great to have these conversations, but we need to be acting as well. And we also need to do our homework. I think that when we come to the table to have a conversation, we sometimes need to make sure that we're also doing our work beforehand to inform ourselves. It's not all learning on the job, although some of it can be. So there's some back work that goes into it as well.
What would you all say has surprised you the most about your work in Smithville and the conversations that you've been part of and that you've seen during your time there?
This is Marley, and I think that sometimes, because we've learned so much, I have actually a really hard time kind of sorting through it and figuring out what it is exactly that I've learned. But the thing that I find myself constantly going back to, and this might say something about me, is sometimes when I don't understand what's happening, I tend to try to understand it through a psychological lens. And I think that when we talk about politics, we forget sometimes that we're all imperfect humans and we all fall into the same kind of thinking traps and flaws. And if I'm going to think about my views, I'm going to think that I'm perfectly logical. Everything adds up. And then I'm going to suddenly, when I talk to someone else, hear all of these logical flaws and start calling them out on it. And I think that a certain perspective that we need to keep in mind is that we are all we're not perfect when we're talking about politics. And that's also why we like to focus on individual stories, experiences, and values, because that can kind of help you understand the core of why you feel certain things.
This is Casey. For me, too, one of the things that I've not only learned, but I've also seen myself falling into is what I was saying about labels. So I think before coming to Smithville and starting this work, I myself was guilty about, you know, only viewing people as either Democrat or Republican and nothing in between, or like these two camps that are very ideologically battling and, you know, people are just sorted into boxes in that way. And I think that's been something that I've been challenged on too doing this work, is that labels can be so misleading and people don't fall into just Democrat or Republican. There's lots of different things in between or not included in those two camps at all. So I think, you know, I've been challenged with my own perspectives and not, you know, looking at someone and thinking like, oh, they have to believe this. Especially, we've mentioned we have part-time jobs at the Blazer Bar to support ourselves because nonprofits life. But that's the other thing, is we've gotten to meet so many different people through that experience and have so many different conversations that we wouldn't necessarily have run into those people in town. But yeah, it's just opened my perspectives a lot.
This is Marley, and I actually think that waitressing and talking politics have a lot of commonalities.
What are the commonalities?
You're going to meet people who you engage with, and whether they're having a bad day or something else is going on, they're going to not be in a healthy place to have a productive conversation. Maybe they won't tip you either. But then you'll also meet people who, you know, are in a space where they can seek to understand where you're coming from, to have a conversation, and to treat you in a way that's respectful. And I think that when we're interacting with people, regardless of what we're doing, whether we're waitressing or talking about politics, you will see people who treat you with respect or don't. And it is important to know when to leave a conversation when you don't think it's healthy. But Yeah, I just think we got to see a lot of range of how people react to politics and lots of things.
Will you all change anything about Project Divided or about your work or about how you approach encouraging and coaching these kind of cross-political and cross-ideological conversations based on your experiences on the ground in Smithville?
This is Marley, and I think that we've actually changed our approach a lot over the past 6 months. When we first started, there was a high emphasis on polarization, and we were really getting into the weeds, learning about all of these different values theories and things like that. And that has been very valuable when we're interpreting situations. But I think that over time, what we've realized is that the problem isn't necessarily difference. I think that we should be acknowledging difference and talking about that. The problem is more, I think, the fact that we are becoming politically disengaged. And I think that's the result of this overwhelming state. And what we really want to do is focus on these conversations through an actionable problem-solving lens. And I think that's how we've changed. We've moved a lot more into being about how we can sit and try to fix something. And I think that also means that it changes who comes to the table. You're not going to have as much these extremes. And I think you see in our web series that a lot of the people who are there are nice and want to sit and talk. And sometimes people are confused because the extremes aren't present.
This is Casey. We came into this work knowing that we wanted to have a focus on the local level. But I think, if anything, throughout doing this work on the ground, that has just been emphasized more and more. For example, we brought together people around the community, some healthcare professionals, some non-healthcare professionals in Smithville, and had a shared meal, and we talked about healthcare needs. And I think that issue specifically highlighted the importance of focusing on the local level, because you had people there from the free clinic, and you had people there who wanted to start a co-op. And I think they were able to talk about what specifically Smithville needed and Bastrop County, because, you know, needs in Smithville, Texas, are going to be a lot different from needs in Newark, Delaware, where I'm from. And I think being able to see that, and so I think for me, something that I've learned a lot more and have come to resonate with more is that government should get smaller when it gets further away from the individual. And I think that's what we've really seen through this work, is that we should be focusing on our communities and how to impact our communities.
All politics is local.
This is Marley, and I cannot agree with that more. I think that for me, when I'm thinking about ways that we can make this feel less overwhelming and more actionable, it all boils down to the community level. And I think that all of the problems that we're seeing at a national level, we also see in each of our communities. And so the best way that each of us can kind of counteract this feeling of, oh, I can't do anything to impact change, is to really look at what is present in our communities and what we can do to, you know, impact some of the issues that we're passionate about, but at the local level.
Marley, you said you all have come to sort of see the problem is not as much polarization as being politically disengaged. And you all talked a little bit about maybe ways to combat that, but why do you think we're so politically disengaged? Because, you know, if you go on social media or you drive around and see bumper stickers, it looks like everybody is, we're all talking about politics. It seems like people are pretty engaged, but you're saying that's not what you guys think is going on.
This is Marley, and I think through my perspective, the two things are connected. The polarization, I think, is feeding the political disengagement. Because I know personally, you know, I'm human. I look online and I see all of these pretty argumentative posts, and it seems like everyone hates each other. All of these, you know, all of these things. And I think that human beings, we get really overwhelmed. Our minds can only handle so much. And so we protect ourselves and we take a step back and we turn off the internet. Probably not do that. But we take a step back and we don't want to see it. We're overwhelmed by it. And so I think the thing that I fear is that I don't want us, especially our generation, which needs to solve pressing issues, I don't want us to be so overwhelmed that we no longer act. And I think that a lot of what we're trying to do now through our web series is provide examples of conversations where people attempted to problem solve, to counterbalance that idea that we're only fighting, although that is real.
This is Casey. Another thing that we've talked a lot about is that I think we're exploited by a lot of these differences. And I think what we've learned in our work is that at the end of the day, most Americans actually want the same things. Most Americans want a decent job where they have dignity and respect. They want to raise their families in a safe and healthy environment. And I think a lot of the times we get distracted by these differences between us. And in some cases, they're real and they have huge impacts and effects on people's lives. And we shouldn't ignore that in any sense. But I think we do get distracted a lot of the times. And I think that people a lot of the times are working towards the same things, or they're confused about the same things. And I think that's why we need more communication, and we need to have these conversations, because then at the end of the day, we can find these common interests between us.
What is next for you all and Project Divided after Smithville?
This is Casey. Yeah, we are very excited. We are currently releasing our web series. We have 10 episodes coming out, so those will be released as weekly episodes. And kind of around the time that we're going to be launching those, we'll also be at a conference in Baltimore, the WOW Women Conference. So we get to kind of take our work on the road a little bit and see some different parts of the country, talk to some more folks. So we're very excited about that. And we hope to keep initiating these conversations and continue the work that we've started.
Absolutely. We've both, I think, learned so much from this experience, which was one of the major reasons that we wanted to do it. As people who are interested in politics and policy, we wanted to learn through action, through having these conversations and learning more on the ground. We're really excited to get to go to WOW Baltimore and be around other women who are trying to impact their communities and learn from them as well. So we'll continue, whatever it is, we'll continue to learn something.